This Marketplace podcast is supported by Invest Puerto Rico. What's next in innovation? That's not the right question. It's where. Puerto Rico, more than just a tropical paradise, it's innovation's paradise, where startups and global players coexist in a vast and vibrant ecosystem, where talent runs deep, highly skilled, and bilingual. Plus, the island offers the most competitive tax incentives in the U.S. If you believe your business can go anywhere, Puerto Rico is the place. Find out more at investpr.org/marketplace. Again, that address is investpr.org/marketplace.
Housing discrimination written into stone. I'm David Brancaccio. First, Biden administration officials say their patience with China is wearing thin. Beijing is well behind on commitments it made during trade negotiations to buy U.S. products. Marketplace's Nancy Marshall-Genzer reports.
Under the Phase 1 trade deal Beijing signed with the Trump administration, China was supposed to buy $200 billion worth of U.S. goods and services in 2020 and 2021. But according to the Peterson Institute for International Economics, China's only met about 60% of that goal. Reuters is reporting Biden administration officials are losing patience with Beijing and want concrete action. They told Reuters that Beijing hasn't shown any real signs of fulfilling its commitments. China was supposed to buy U.S. agricultural products, energy, and manufactured goods like planes. The Peterson Institute estimates Beijing is about $124 billion behind in those purchases. I'm Nancy Marshall-Genzer for Marketplace.
Let's check the numbers. I see S&P and NASDAQ futures are down slightly, 0.1% each. The 10-year interest rate is up at 1.93%. A published report suggests Amazon has an interest, at least, in buying the subscription exercise company Peloton, which hadn't been out looking for any suitors. Thousands still have no power after the big ice storm last week, especially in the Memphis area. The utility there indicates 67,000 customers are still off. Memphis Light, Gas, and Water emphasizes that 81% do have power. A few years before pandemic, a study by the Federal Reserve in Boston found the median or typical white household there had a net worth of about $250,000, yet the median net worth for black households in that area was just $8. You heard me right, eight. We've reported on that from different angles in recent years. Now, a major reason black families in that city are less likely to own homes, and a documentary that airs nationwide tonight shows the reason for that racial divide in real estate and in wealth is due in large part to the way policy was designed, intentionally designed.
We have a myth in this country that the reason neighborhoods are segregated is because people like to live with one another who are of the same race, or because African Americans have too little income to move into white neighborhoods, or because there's private prejudice that prevents African Americans from buying homes in white neighborhoods. And that's all true, but it's a tiny, tiny part of the truth.
That's policy expert Richard Rothstein, one of the many voices in that documentary tonight on PBS television called Owned, A Tale of Two Americas. The film's director, Giorgio Angelini, joins us. Welcome.
Thank you for having me on.
In the film, the point is made that, you know, two veterans getting out of the Second World War, one black, one white, on similar economic footing. Yet, what does the white veteran get that the black veteran doesn't?
I mean, there was a social contract that was made with veterans following World War II that set into motion arguably the biggest growth in middle class history around the world, and it all centered around home ownership. And it was very deliberately created to benefit one group of people at the expense of the other. And so for me, making Owned was really about not just retelling this story historically, but also looking at really the idea of the home.
Because they're one of our greatest stores of wealth. Real estate is a key way that people can change their economic circumstance.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, there's no bigger predictor of one's ability to move up socioeconomically than the zip code that they were born into. And it's a real shame that we have a system where we've placed the home as the center of everything. It defines where you go to school. It defines your ability to retire with dignity.
I mean, here from the film is a clip of Amanda Seward. She's a resident of Mar Vista, California, which is a little like Levittown out on Long Island, one of those post-war planned communities. And she talks about her neighborhood's segregated past.
The FHA at the time didn't think that integrated neighborhoods would be attractive to the general public. And they're providing mortgage insurance. And in their minds, that would bring down the value of the homes. You know, most people in America, the value of those homes and parents passing that on to their children, that's made the biggest difference. African Americans were left out of that.
So, Giorgio, what's the larger truth? Just that policy is rigged?
In some sense, I mean, one of our main characters in the film is a retired New York police officer named Jimmy who lives in Levittown. And through his eyes, you see, I think, what a lot of Americans are dealing with, people who don't consider themselves to be prejudiced, but all the same benefited from a system that overwhelmingly benefited them at the expense of others.
The only thing that Levitt did that was wrong, and I'll be the first one to admit this, no blacks allowed. And that is disgraceful.
And he's someone who grew up in inner city New York in neighborhoods that we now consider to be historically black, like Bed-Stuy in his case, but neighborhoods that were actually quite integrated when he was growing up there. And because of the heavy hand of the government, because of these policies, his family was able to move out to the suburbs like Levittown. And I think Jimmy encapsulates so much of the emotional strife that's going on in America right now, where people see that there's a problem, but feel helpless in how they can affect change. And the question is, what do we do with that knowledge? And in so many cases, the knee-jerk reaction is often to get very defensive and angry rather than find solutions.
Giorgio Angelini is an architect and director of the documentary Owned, A Tale of Two Americas, which makes its U.S. broadcast premiere on PBS's Independent Lens tonight. It'll also be available to stream on the PBS video app. Mr. Angelini, thank you so much.
Thank you. What an honor.
And Delta Airlines CEO is pushing hard for a national no-fly list for unruly passengers, with jerks on airplanes on the rise in the last 2 years. Meanwhile, Southwest Airlines is set to start selling alcohol again on the 16th of this month, even though its flight attendants say, please don't. I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Morning Report. From APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.